Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
When you step across the white stripe, the only thing that matters is that 6 inches between your backbone and your breastbone.
I think they're going to take a step back. I think this is kind of a reset year for them.
Playoffs?
I don't think they make the playoffs at all. And I'm not even trying to be like tongue-in-cheek. I'm not trying to be like hot takey. I just look at the division. Now look at the quarterbacks within that division. It's no fear of Patrick Mahomes.
That's what I was just wondering.
Andy Reid got fired for a reason.
Oh, man, doggone.
And that's going to do it. Chiefs are going to get the onside kick recovered at the 46-yard line. Jacksonville can't stop it, and the Chiefs are going to go to the AFC Championship game for the fifth consecutive year.
There's a gleam, man. There's a gleam. Let's get the gleam, all right? Let's go.
This is a game of the heart. A game of being a man. Let's go.
Do not underestimate the power of the human will. Light the ignition. Let's get this rocket ship going up now.
All I know is that the Cincinnati Bengals went in there and kicked that ass, and it wasn't even close. Everybody in that division has great defensive players, great offensive players. Right? And at the end of the day, you got to be able to stop some damn body, and you can't ask Patrick Mahomes to be Houdini every time. We saw it happen in the playoffs when they tried to win the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay. How did it work out for Patrick Mahomes? Running for his damn life. How did it work out last year when they played the Bengals? They couldn't move the football.
At the end of the day, man, the lights come on Sunday night, 5:30, and hey, we got to play.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Marco Marquez on this Red Friday, January 27, 2023. Chiefs, Bengals, AFC Championship game, Sunday, 5:30, Arrowhead. Be there. Wouldn't miss it for the world. I'm going to get there early and just stand. I don't care how cold it is. I don't care.
And I don't care.
And just look around. and take in the sights and the smells. Maybe visit a couple of tailgates with Todd Lebo.
Todd Lebo!
I found out that... And I didn't even have to get him a ticket. Phil St. John's going to this game.
Oh!
I found out.
Hey!
We'll see you at the game. Maybe we could get together beforehand.
Is there a guy named Duke Fry in the...
If I've got time, I'll...
Right. So...
They'll squeeze you into his schedule.
Very excited. Yeah, he's going with... he's going with friends.
All right.
But look... That put a gleam in my eye.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a gleam.
He loves it. He's like his daddy. Oh. We need it, too, because we spent hours filling out, ladies and gentlemen, FAFSA. You ever heard that one, Stan?
I don't know what that is.
You will.
Is that
you will.
College thing?
And then the day after, you're going to come in here like me and say, I spent several hours filling out FAFSA. You know, it's financial aid.
Yep.
And everything.
That's important stuff.
For these kids. Scholarship applications, all kinds of stuff last night. It was a fun-filled evening. I enjoy it, though. But it's same thing. I can't think about anything else right now. Well, I can, but I don't want to.
Right.
You know, Phil's right with me.
This game just needs to get here, man.
Talked about this yesterday. It's right up there with any game in the history of my life as a Chiefs fan. I hate to have recency bias. I feel like it's top five as far as anticipation I've had for any game. Certainly any game that I'm going to attend. I mean, I think about the games I've been most excited about in my life. At the time it was fun. When the Chiefs made the playoffs after the 86 season, I had a little watch party at my house for the Chiefs-Jets wild card game, and that was horrible.
Yes!
that was horrible. That was my freshman year, my new friends, hey, come over, go watch the Chiefs beat the Jets. You know, they didn't. They did not. They hadn't made the playoffs in so long, and so that was like a big deal that they made the playoffs, but then they got beat. Because blocking punts only won't get you to the Super Bowl when that's the only thing you can do well.
Get you to playoffs, so.
The playoff game against the Dolphins after the 90 season, that's still pre-Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. That's probably still my favorite Chiefs team ever. With Steve DeBerg at quarterback when he had 23 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. You know, Okoye, Barry Word,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Stephon Page, Derek Thomas, Neil Smith. Hard to beat that team as far as, because I mean, and I was, what, 18?
Yeah.
17, 18 years old. I love that team that lost in the wild card game to Miami, 17-16. But that still may have... Even though it was only the wild card, maybe that was the toughest loss of my youth. There's a lot. Well, you know what? There's a lot to go through. Which loss is the toughest?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like picking your favorite Elvis song.
Me and Caesar slept outside to get tickets to the Chiefs-Colts playoff game. We only got single tickets, so we sat in opposite ends of the stadium, and it was so cold. That's probably the coldest game I've ever attended at Arrowhead. And just watching... But the anticipation was great, but then, of course, it flopped. This is right up there.
Yeah, it is.
This is right up there just for so many reasons because, you know, we talked about yesterday. Even though the Chiefs have gone to a couple Super Bowls recently, we all had that taken away from us, and we all know how difficult it is. And just to shut everyone up, around the nation that have, for some reason, turned on the Chiefs and made them the villains. Oh. And to beat this team, this unlikable Cincinnati Bengals team, which has turned into, they've turned into the unlikable team that are the villains, at least for the Chiefs, of course, because they beat the Chiefs 3 times in a row and they won in the AFC Championship game last year. But I just can't wait. It's going to be such a fantastic game, I think.
I hope it's not. I hope the Chiefs go out there and kick their ass. Wouldn't that be something?
Mm-hmm.
But hey, remember, even if they're kicking ass at halftime, the first half hasn't been the problem against the Bengals. No matter what happens in the first half, I'm going to be nervous and sick at halftime because I'm going to be expecting the worst in the second half. Because that's what happened. That's what's happened in each of these games against the Bengals. It's like halftime. Hey, yeah, all right then. Thing looking pretty good. And then the second half has been a disaster. Hopefully they can turn that around and they can finish strong this time. Yeah, man, I can't wait. So to help you count down to kickoff, you can join me and Nate and Gary Dieter and Cornell Powell tonight from 5 until 7 o'clock at the Johnny's Tavern in Parkville for a countdown to the AFC Championship special edition of the Border Patrol right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll be meeting and greeting from 5 until 6, and then from 6 until 7 we'll be on the air. We'll just, you know, talk a little football. Talk a little football with Gary Dieter, Cornell Powell, and give you something to do tonight to get you fired up for the game on Sunday.
You like that? You like that?
So coming out, great location, Johnny's Tavern in Parkville, right off 435, can't miss it. And awesome place to watch sports, awesome place to watch games. They got a happy hour from 3 until 6 to get there for the tail end of happy hour leading into our show and enjoy some food and drink specials. Johnny's Tavern.com if you want to check out the menu and decide what you're going to eat beforehand. Great specials every day, food and drink specials. One of my favorite places to go for sure. So glad they're in the Northland now at in Parkville. So we'll be there tonight, and Gary Dieter and Cornell Powell help us break down the game, and then we'll be good to go. Then I will, normally I would stay after one of these events and mingle, but I will have to immediately get to St. Gabe's for a 8:30 tip-off for St. Gabe's basketball. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Prime time.
Yeah. But I think Sel wants to come to this remote with me because she has not met Gary Dieter.
Oh.
And she likes his Instagram, so.
He's got a good IG page, huh?
Apparently.
To check that out.
She said he likes a lot of your pictures, so I started looking at his, so I like his.
Aww.
So yesterday we were out at Arrowhead Stadium and we talked to a bunch of different players. And we're going to play some of those interviews in the 8 o'clock hour. Normally we have the Border Patrol Fast Break, but we are punting the Fast Break today. Instead, we'll play some interviews that we had yesterday with George Karloftis. We talked to Trey Smith. What a great guy to talk to.
Oh, man, I really liked him. Yeah.
Yes.
Very thoughtful.
Talked to Willie Gay. Talked to Carlos Dunlap. Talked to Orlando Brown. And so we've got all those different players that we had a chance to speak with. Something just surprised Marco. What's wrong?
Nothing. Something just surprised me.
You missed Orlando Brown, didn't you?
I missed Orlando Brown. That's
all right. I'm telling you. I sent you the email. It's in
your
email.
You sent me the email. Okay. You know what's funny? I did listen to it.
Okay.
I don't know why I didn't.
A minute there, I'm thinking, I didn't send it to him. But I did send it to you.
We'll play Orlando Brown or we won't.
Yeah, I was in the. So what I try to do so I don't forget and I don't, you know, nothing happens funky, I go out to the parking lot at Arrowhead and I immediately start trying to label the interviews and email them to you and to Lebo.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I had one time I didn't email it right away and somehow the file got corrupted.
Oh.
And I was like, never again. Never will I wait. I'm gonna hot potato here. I will send these emails the second I get back to my car, and that's what I did. And so then I'm thinking, oh, did I not send? I'm like, did I not send them Orlando Brown?
No, they were all coming in. What cracked me up about myself was I was watching TV at 9:30 last night, kind of just getting ready for bed, and I'm scrolling through Twitter and I see Nate tweet out talking about how you guys had talked with Carlos Dunlap, and I was like, Carlos Dunlap. I forgot to cut up the Carlos. So I had to go back and cut up Carlos Dunlap.
It was weird because Nate was over at the press conferences, and so I was in the locker room, and I talked to Carlos Dunlap with a couple of other reporters, and then I was talking to Orlando Brown, and I felt the the weight of someone's stare. I'm very cognizant of when someone's standing too close or staring at me. And
right over your back shoulder, too, right? Yeah.
And I was getting ready to turn around and give someone
Do you remember you?
I was going to mean mug someone. I was like, get off me.
Yeah.
Get off my shoulder. And this guy was he was up against me.
I was taking pictures of Steven. I was really there.
He was up against
Steven was there doing interviews. I was there taking pictures of Steven and videos of him doing the interviews. That was kind of where I was at.
Real close.
I was wondering where all the close-up shots are coming from.
He got
from.
Real close. And I was like, I turned around, oh.
I tried to get where I could just kind of feel the breath of, on the back of his shoulder.
Right. And then later on, I looked at my phone because I put my phone in airplane mode. Because it doesn't matter what. Somehow, some way, when I'm doing interviews at Arrowhead, and if I don't put it in airline mode, somehow, my dad, I kept calling you wouldn't answer. I don't know, Dad. I was doing interviews with my phone. People made fun of my limp microphone, whatever. I don't care. It works. Good sound quality. Then I looked down later on at my text messages that came through after I put it back off of airplane mode. And there was a text from Nate. How do you get in? He was locked out.
They weren't letting me in that place. Maybe for good reason.
Yeah, I said, well, that $20 did its job. So then, something was wrong with the door, the front door to Arrowhead to get in. And so then he couldn't get in, and I didn't see the text message because I was doing the interviews, and so that's why he was a little bit a few minutes
tardy
later.
Tardy to the deal.
And then we were leaving. And then we saw Steve Spagnuolo couldn't get into the front door Arrowhead. He was out there, and it's one of those automatic entry doors where you just it senses you're there and it opens up right. And Spags is out there like
waving his hands.
I can't get in the door. I can't get in this door.
Somebody open this door.
Open the door so I can do the game plan. I can't open the door. And I don't know why I thought that was funny that Spagnuolo couldn't get into
it. Made me feel a lot better because I was like, well, they're not letting me in. But then, if Spags can't get in.
And then thought, oh, I bet that would have been funny to see Nate was probably out there like, I can't get in this. I know this door will open if somehow. And so Spags is out there. Hey, Spags, how you doing? I couldn't get in the door. So there you go. We'll play one of these when we come back to give it a little treat, a little Scooby snack.
To what your palate?
To the we will allow the 6 o'clock listeners, so you'll wet your beak. And so we'll play one of those coming back. But again, if you want to come out and just hang out tonight from 5 until 7 o'clock, Johnny's Tavern in Parkville, me, Nate Bucati, Gary Dieter, Cornell Powell, and maybe you. I don't know. It depends on you. Sam says he's going to show up.
Oh,
my
boy.
My buddy Sam. But that's and I hope he's listening. If he says he's showing up, 20% chance or less.
Yeah, but you know what? If he does show up, 100% chance of a good time.
Right. That's right. But 20% chance of showing up. Right. So that minimizes it. Mm-hmm. We will take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, let's play a couple of clips from out of Arrowhead. We'll start with Willie Gay, since apparently that's making some headlines.
Is it?
Can't control what people say, man.
Nope.
Here is, we were gathered around Willie Gay, and what happens is somebody will go and ask him, hey, can I get a couple questions with you? And then the rest of the media will gather around. Mm-hmm. So there's always one. And we do that for each other. One person pops a question and then helps everyone else out. So they can get sound bites or whatever. It's all good. But we went in and asked Willie Gay, and then some other people came up, which is all good in my hood. And so here's Nate and I asking Willie Gay some questions yesterday in the locker room. Right, how excited are you to get another crack at Cincinnati in the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead on Sunday?
I'm very excited. I'm excited every time we step on the field, man. But definitely, you know, this opportunity to play this team again, I'm very excited and ready to roll.
Physical team. They ran the ball very well last week. What kind of challenge is that for you and Nick Bolton and the rest of the linebackers?
Just prove that we can stop the run, you know, and we built for it, you know, and we're excited to go through about this week and prepare for it and try to stop them as much as we can.
All that trash talk coming from over there, does that fire you up and get you motivated when they call Arrowhead Burrowhead, or how do you handle this?
I'm just excited to be playing football, man. That stuff is just what comes with the game, you know. We, like Coach Reed said, we don't do no talking. We just go handle business when it's time to go.
What is it about that Bengals offense that maybe impresses you the most? You played them a few times?
Nothing.
Okay.
Right. What do you got to do personally, you think, to go out there and have your best game to help get the team to the Super Bowl?
Stop the run, for sure. You know, they're going to try to do that to, you know, act like they can big boy us. But front six, seven, we're going to definitely do our job and try to slow that down. So.
Okay, so most people are focusing on the, you know, Nate saying what impresses you the most about the Bengals offense, which is a legitimate question. It's not baiting Willie Gay. It's what impresses you most about the Bengals offense. He said nothing, and then he said nothing again, and that's fine. Maybe it all impresses him, and nothing impresses him the most. You could take it a number of different ways. So what? All the crap that's been coming out of Cincinnati, and people are going to focus on that. Good. And you heard, you know, the reply. Nate goes, "What'd you say?" You go,
"Okay." Okay.
And I just, "That's right." I said, "Yeah, that's right. Let's go."
Yeah.
I was ready to headbutt him. Let's go.
Well, it caught me off guard because at first, you know, like he had said, we're going to do our talking on the field. We're not going
right.
to say anything.
And I like that because that's why I was asking all these different players about this, and they're all saying the same thing. Hey, we do our talking on the field. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Willie Gay said the right thing, but then he said nothing. Nothing. You want to take that and run with it? Go ahead. Nothing. What is this? Is it Willie Gay's job to compliment the Bengals offense? No. I don't need the Chiefs to be nice on Sunday. I need the Chiefs to kick someone's ass on Sunday. Right? Compliment them after the game.
There you go.
Hey, that was a great offense we just beat.
That's right.
You know, whatever. People want to be outraged.
Boy, they couldn't wait to run into that Bengals locker room and, you know.
Well, sure.
Throw that quote around.
Asking T. Higgins. Did you get that? Did you see that? Mark, you said that. Did you play that? T. Higgins. A reporter asked T. Higgins about. But this is the thing then. You got to put it in context. The question was, what impresses you most about the Bengals offense, right? Was that the question?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What impresses you most about the Bengals offense? Nothing. Nothing. So nothing impresses him most. He didn't say, "Oh, the Bengals offense doesn't impress me. I'm not impressed with that offense." He said, you asked him, "What impresses you most about the Bengals offense?" He said, "Nothing." So that's how you got to ask it. Or that's how you got it, whatever, right?
When you're quoting him to somebody else.
Quote this.
Right.
And so then you got a Cincinnati reporter going in and asking T. Higgins about it.
I don't really care about that. I mean, that's their opinion, right? But I feel like, you know, I know what we got in this locker room. You know what we got on the opposite side of the ball, so it is what it is.
Now, tremendous amount of credit to T. Higgins because they were blasting Houdini in the background, which is good.
Friends.
You know, I'm not going to complain about that. That's
how many
good.
Of us have them?
That's good.
Right. I respect that.
I don't like the fact that Cincinnati's doing it because I like that song and I want to say respect, but I'm not going to give them credit for nothing. But you know, that's a good vibe there.
For sure.
You want to say anything?
I don't know, man. You know, I literally I was thinking to myself, at this point in my life, I've been in the crosshair. I put myself in the crosshairs of angry fans enough in my life that I wasn't really looking for any of that yesterday. We were going out there to try to get some good interviews with players, get everybody excited for this game coming up. And there is a lot to be impressed with the Bengals offense. I really think Willie Gay was trying not to say anything. So he literally said nothing, you know, and whatever.
Oh,
people can.
It's
but
football. Yeah,
we just need to get this game going. You know, this. It was just funny because You and I, but I was out there 2 days in a row in the locker room. You were out there. That was like one of the, was that the last interview we did? And every guy, no matter what you asked them about Burrowhead or anything, they all said the same thing. We're going to let our talking, we're going to do our talking on the field. You know, we're going to let our play do the talking. We're not going to say anything. And then like what I thought was the most innocent question in the world gets everybody all fired up and wound up. But you know what? Here's the bottom line. Whether they said these things or not, I got a secret. These two teams don't like each other. They don't like each other. Whether Willie Gay said nothing or anything or everything, these two teams don't like each other, which is one of the reasons that I think this game is, going back to what you said at the start of the show, why there's so much anticipation for this game. Two really good teams with history, and they kind of don't like each other. That's what you want, right? So we just got to get to the game.
Back into this on WHB. So your rookie year, what did that mean to you to get your first playoff win and now ready to play in the AFC Championship game, a step away from the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. You know, not too many people get this opportunity. You know, I know there's been numerous guys on our team that are vets and haven't won a playoff game. You know, and to make it this far as a rookie, you know, just speaks volumes to what this team is capable of and, you know, the organization and the leadership within this organization. So, you know, super proud of these guys and, you know, we're not done yet.
That was George Karloftis yesterday in the Chiefs locker room. And now we have Stan Weber in studio. Stan, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. And this is our locker room, right?
It is.
All right. Here we go.
But we are a bundle of nerves in this locker room today. We are very excited. I know I'm sure you're very excited to watch these championship games. I've been talking about how this compares to other. Thankfully, we have a lot of playoff games to compare it to.
How about that?
Several years,
but this even just, championship games.
This just feels different. It's just and Nate brought up that point. There's, you feel like there's a real dislike between these teams. This narrative now that the Bengals have the Chiefs' number, that Mahomes could be, that Burrow could be better than Mahomes, that just the idea that the Cincinnati Bengals have the opportunity to win back-to-back AFC championship games at Arrowhead will drive you crazy as a Chiefs fan. I'm just curious what you think just about this matchup and the buildup and maybe what this means for the Chiefs' legacy and Mahomes' legacy and all of the extracurricular stuff that's going on leading into this matchup besides a trip to the Super Bowl.
Well, the negative side is big, and I think when you are concerned about how negative it would be if you lose, that makes winning just more important. In a sense of urgency, I think there's a ton of pressure on the Chiefs. To start with, this is the fifth straight AFC championship, period. Fifth straight AFC championship at home. You're going through a period of time where this is not a fluke at all. Who's the best team in the NFL? Who's won more regular season games in the last 5 years? Who's got the best quarterback? You got one of the two best coaches in the NFL and Andy Reid. You've got all these things, Travis Kelce playing out of his mind. You've got to strike and win when things are there for you. It's your time. You've got to really pounce on it. And I think just to, you know, look at it historically, out of these first 4 years, one Super Bowl is big. Getting to two Super Bowls is nice. But if you only do that after a fifth year, then suddenly you just got a little burden about, you know, the questions of Andy Reid. Look at his record at Philadelphia. He got to the championship game, and he made it to the Super Bowl, but they lost. You know, that whole thing. And you just got to take care of historically. 20 years from now, when we look back and say, man, when the Chiefs dominated, you want to have more Super Bowl appearances and more Super Bowl championships. So the Chiefs have a ton of pressure because, as we sit here in 2022, they were the number one seed. They didn't have to play an extra round. They didn't have to play Buffalo and Cincinnati. They got to win. So that's one side of it. And then on the other side, you got a legitimate opponent in Cincinnati that obviously matches up well with you, is confident, and came in here last year and won. And, man, it hurts even more if two times that you didn't make it to the Super Bowl was the same team. I mean, if the Bengals go to the last two Super Bowls, how can the Chiefs' offseason be flag flying, saying the Chiefs are the best team in football when they didn't even make the Super Bowl, and one other team did, beating them head-to-head. So what's at stake is giant. And the whole nation wants to watch because it looks like it's going to be a super competitive game. You got superstars playing. You got the matchup and, like you said, all that stuff around it, the buildup of the Cincinnati Bengals having all this confidence and poking the bear that is the Kansas City Chiefs, the best team in football. It's a giant setup. But I start the week with the pressures all on the Chiefs, or let's say 2 weeks ago, when the Chiefs did not have to play either Buffalo or Cincinnati, right? They had to take each other on while all Kansas City had to do was beat Jacksonville. You would have taken that every day. Week off, beat Jacksonville, here we are. So that's where I sat. But when Patrick Mahomes got injured, I think that spun everything around in a real positive way for the Chiefs, because I think the focus has now been on preparation. What about Patrick? What may we not be able to do? And I think the Chiefs now are inwardly focused and not feeling the pressure of, we have to win. That's not the vibe I've been getting around Kansas City or listening to your interviews. Like, we're the favorite. We can't blow this. We're better than the Bengals. We're at home. We had a bye. We've got to win. I don't feel that pressure. I feel an urgency, like, let's go get those guys. And I think, knowing athletes, I think the focus has been around, is Chad Henne ready just in case? Patrick, which plays can we run? I think the responsibility that the offensive lineman will take on will create a better play from them. What happens when a backup quarterback comes in, at least for 1 week?
Everybody elevates their game a little bit.
Do you believe that?
Yeah.
You, Steven?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think it's real. Now, they may not be able to do it. Don't you? I think Patrick Mahomes gets the benefit of the other guys on offense thinking that the backup quarterback came in. Even though he's in the huddle, they're going to look around and go, I'm not sure he can move. I think every offensive lineman for the Chiefs will block better with that kind of responsibility. Because when they go to bed at night on Saturday nights, do you think they're real nervous about their responsibility? Like, if I don't play great today, we're going to lose. Do you think they think that for 1 second?
I hope not.
I wouldn't. Because if I miss my block, guess what? Patrick just moves, dogs the defensive lineman, rolls out, and makes a spectacular play.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk back to the huddle and say, sorry, bud. I'll get it next time. What happens this game? Smash.
Yeah, he could be knocked out of the game.
And you're like, how's that? Did they hit you? Did that hurt your ankle?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think you look at the Bengals line. What was the big story about Cincinnati playing against Buffalo? What was the biggest risk everyone talked about?
Their three offensive linemen being out.
Three starters.
Yeah.
On the offensive line with a less mobile quarterback. That was the whole story, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did the game end up? Did you ever worry about that offensive line?
Their offensive line dominated the Bills.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's not an accident. When those guys went in there, they stuck to the fundamentals of, I'm the weak link on this football team. And when you believe the game's on you, one of the great things about being a quarterback, I was lucky enough to do it at least at the college level, is when you're getting ready for the game and you think, I better get to a high level of focus, it's pretty easy because you realize the ball's in your hand every play.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it easy for the quarterback to go, oh my gosh, I got to play great today? But the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line, I think they went into the Buffalo game going, I have got to play great or we're going to lose this game. It brought out the best of the Bengals. I think it's going to bring the best out of the Chiefs. You never root for Patrick Mahomes to have a hurt ankle, okay? But I think the focus of the game has switched from Cincinnati attacking Kansas City to the Chiefs going, oh, you think we're the underdog. You think we're in trouble. And I think that they were going to they game planned. They probably have 25% more plays in their arsenal right now to say, what happens if the game unfolds this way? What happens if he can't move? What happens if Patrick's different in the second half? Andy's got an answer for everything.
I've got an analogy for you on that. It's somebody told me about this. Like, if you're driving down the highway at 70 miles an hour, whatever speed you normally travel when you're on the highway, and you're on your Bluetooth, you're having a conversation on the phone with somebody, or you're talking to somebody that's in the car with you, and everything's just kind of on autopilot, and you're not really like locked in, like, oh man, I'm going really fast, I need to be careful. You're just kind of driving. Then you're going 120 miles an hour on a racetrack right next to another car, and your fingers are clenched to the steering wheel, and you're keenly aware of everything that's happening around you, because you're like, if any little thing goes wrong, it's disaster. You're at a different level of focus. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about. Like, if you're just going into a regular season game and you're the Kansas City Chiefs with a healthy Patrick Mahomes, this is routine. This is what we do every single week. I could do this in my sleep. Obviously, it's an NFL game. You're keyed up. But point being is, this is the norm for you. Now you're in the AFC Championship game with a banged up Patrick Mahomes behind you. Now it's like going 120 miles an hour, bumper to, you know, wheel to wheel, where you're like, I can't make a mistake. I got to be totally locked into everything that I'm doing, and hopefully that's what we see out of the Chiefs in this game.
And that's what I fully expect. So I think the other thing is the Chiefs look inwardly, and they're the best team in football. This week it has all been about looking inwardly because the distraction of, oh, you know, here, for instance, I think the Chiefs have the capability of getting a little upset or getting that focus and grabbing the steering wheel that you talked about. And when they do it, it has always resulted in very good results until the Bengals. For instance, go back to 2019, Stephen. Look at all the video on the sidelines. In the Super Bowl, things weren't going well for the Chiefs against the 49ers, right? Obviously against the Texans. But what did Patrick do? What were all the quotes over there? We're coming back right now. Right now, let's go. Let's impose our will. Let's believe in our program. We are going to go out and execute. And it worked every time when the Chiefs get upset and say, let's go. The only time I don't think it worked is when the Bengals. When they were mad at the Bengals this year going in, right? We're going to show them. We're not going to get swept three times by those nasty Bengals. And I don't think that's a good mode for the Chiefs against the Bengals. Don't fight. Remember the old Raiders? They wanted the Chiefs to fight. And it just didn't work. The Chiefs needed to slice and dice, and Hank Stram's team and Len Dawson needed to beat them that way on the football field. I think the Bengals want to get in there and get in a fight with the Chiefs. And I think the Chiefs in the regular season game were ready to do that. Like, let's bring it. We're coming after you. But right now, that's the last thing I want the Chiefs to do. Just focus on yourself. Execute. You have all the advantage. It's your stadium. It's your crowd. It's your Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. We don't give Andy Reid enough credit. Did you see Chad Henne drive the team down 98 yards? How does he have that quarterback ready? How does he have the play calls?
It was a masterclass.
I mean, we don't give him enough credit about coaching. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do they do that? That is what's unbelievable. Andy Reid has that big old sheet, and he doesn't use a lot of it. But you know what? For every situation, he's going, oh, Patrick can't move as well. Or the defense is doing this. Oh, Chad Henne's in. They can call. He'll call the right thing. Look at his record his whole life. No matter who the quarterback is, who the line receivers and running backs were, what's Andy Reid's offense done throughout his whole history? Move the ball and score.
That's why it's ridiculous that Sean McDermott is a finalist for Coach of the Year, not Andy Reid. It's ridiculous. It's an insult. And just more to your point, Nate, I'll use a boxing analogy. I don't know if you've ever seen this one. But when you are in the ring with a superior fighter, with a better boxer, you want to try to get the fight ugly. You want to try to turn it into a brawl. Right, you want to try to get him out of his game, because if you stand there and box with him, you're going to get beat. Right, and mm-hmm. I think the Bengals go into this thing, even though they're a good team, they're not better than the Chiefs, and they want to try to drag the Chiefs down into the mud, and that's the way they could beat them.
And then when you say, if you're the lesser boxer, Bengals or Buffalo or whoever we're talking about, right? There's been some lesser boxers though that really do have the capability of winning. The Raiders weren't as good as the Chiefs many times, but the nastiness fit them well. You know, they function. McEnroe. Do people even know who John McEnroe is? He seems like a real nice announcer on the Australian Open tonight. John McEnroe used to go crazy. He'd just go crazy and try to yank the whole match into ugliness, but it didn't affect his concentration at all. You see what I'm saying? That's what the Bengals are. If Buffalo tried to do that to the Chiefs, because going into the game between the Bengals and the Bills, I said the Bills were like a soft pillow, okay? They're lovable and huggable, but they're not tough at all. And that they couldn't come in here to Kansas City if they were here, or in Atlanta, and they wouldn't come in and go, let's talk trash about the Chiefs, and let's get them fired up and get them in a little boxing brawl. They can't do it. What makes the Bengals dangerous is they'll play fine. They're not just the Bengals are doing two things. They're not just trying to yank the Chiefs down, yes, in your boxing analogy. They're also building themselves up to a level that they believe.
They feed off of it.
They feed off of it, and it helps them say they believe coming out of the locker room, it's not an upset. They believe they're the better team.
We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. How about a congratulations from the Border Patrol to Stanton Weber, the new special teams coordinator. Holy Toledo!
Wow.
You going to get your Toledo gear?
Is that, good job using Toledo. You know, I thought, because whoever hangs around a coaching staff, you have 10 assistants allowed in major college football. Head coach, 10 assistants that can recruit, do anything and everything, okay? And then you have guys who are analysts, but they call them coach also. So I've gotten used to Stanton being called coach. When I went to his wedding on July 2nd in South Carolina this year and met a lot of players at South Carolina, University of South Carolina, you know, they were calling him coach. And but now I almost want to call him analyst Stanton or analyst Weber, because now he really is a coach. This is a giant step in his career because he's one of the 10 coaches. And about half the teams in the country don't even have a special teams coach. Because there are so many analysts, they can have the analysts do so much work that the coaches can do special teams work without having a special teams coach. Does that make sense? So it's not like it was in the old days. I think many teams, almost all, had a special teams coach, like Dave Tobe, right? The best in the NFL. But Stanton was an analyst for 2 years for South Carolina. He was a part with Pete Lembo, who got like a $250,000 or $300,000 raise after South Carolina had the best special teams in the country this year. And obviously it's Beamer Ball with Shane Beamer. Frank Beamer's son is the head coach, so he cares about special teams. He was a special teams coordinator at Oklahoma. Stanton went against him when he was at K-State. So it's been a great 2 years for Stanton, but he was just an analyst. He didn't have to recruit or get to recruit and do all those things and maximize your income and everything else. And sure enough, he got an opportunity this week. He is moving to Toledo.
The Glass Bowl.
On Monday in the MAC. And the thing that is interesting about the MAC conference is that it is not like most conferences where you have your best teams. You know, that's Big Ten country, right? Mm-hmm. And you know about Ohio State and Michigan. And then everyone's trying to get up there. In the MAC, they all are about the same. So what it becomes is like the NFL, where there's not that much difference between the worst team and the best team. And so it really comes down to coaching. Does that make sense? If you're at Ohio State and you're the special teams coordinator, except for two or three games a year, how can you screw up? I mean, you can do an average job and you won't get exposed because your athletes are better, your team's always ahead, you know, you got all the momentum. When you're at Toledo or any MAC school, guess what? Turn into MAC action on a Tuesday night if you want to just watch the fourth quarter. And no matter what the records are, the score is usually like 31-28, bring it on, who's going to win at the end. So it really is a great opportunity for him. So
look at how many great coaches have come out of the MAC.
And Toledo.
Right.
Do we need to connect him with former Toledo head coach Gary Pinkle, the winningest coach in Toledo history?
Yeah, and then you know who else came after that? Matt Campbell.
That's pretty good.
Now, Matt Campbell, Stanton's really tied into the Matt Campbell tree here. Mount Union was a dominant team. I'm not sure, was it Division III?
I remember him winning all those national titles.
Okay, so Mount Union is a big-time winning program at a smaller level. And with Chris Kleiman winning at North Dakota State and with Lance Leipold winning the way he did at Wisconsin Whitewater, we know now that if you win at those levels, that you can also take it to the big time. Because really, coaching is about when I have equal athletes with you and they both think they're going to win. Bengals, Chiefs. Not only are they good athletes and equal, they both think they're going to win. Who can coach them up? That's what you've got to be able to do. And when you talk about Mount Union, Matt Campbell, I think, played at Mount Union. And then he went to Toledo. The head coach now at Toledo, Coach Candle, was under Matt Campbell at Toledo for X number of years, 5, 6, 7, whatever. Then when Matt Campbell went to Iowa State, he became the head coach. Anyway, you study the staff. Stanton has a bunch of people who are Matt Campbell, Mount Union types. They know how to win. And Toledo won the MAC this year. Now, they didn't dominate. It's not like, you know, Ohio State winning the Big Ten. But they did win the MAC. And the weakness of Toledo during that season was special teams.
Not anymore.
So Stanton's moving to Toledo.
Yes.
And his new wife, Natalie, went to South Carolina, grew up in Tennessee part of the time as well. She's going to see snow for the first time. This is going to be interesting. She's very excited. As of right now, she's very excited. But, yeah, no, getting your break and getting a big-time opportunity, getting a big-time opportunity was the work he did with Bill Snyder and Sean Snyder at K-State, learning from them. And then Coach Kleiman, when he came in, you know, that was awesome because he loved his school and he got to contribute so much around people he loves, respects, and win. So that's been great, right? And South Carolina's turned out well, but this is a big step. He's actually a real coach.
Well, congratulations. Very happy for you. Let Stanton know that Marco will be very active on Toledo football and DraftKings Sportsbook.
They won me
now
some money this because year.
Because
yeah,
they have the Toledo edge in special teams, which gives Marco an edge on DraftKings Sportsbook. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB.